place in which we're coming to. And Father, we need to realize that every time we come to your throne of grace, whether it be through study or be through prayer, that we're coming to your throne. And God, we need to remind ourselves of that, and we need to come with a humbleness, we need to come with a gratefulness, and also just with a joy to know that we can come to the throne of God, and your throne. Father, as we study tonight, I pray that you continue just to give us an open mind and a heart, to give us clarity as we go through it. And God, we just thank you for how you bless us and take care of us every day. We thank you for that in your Son's name. Amen. Alrighty. Go to Revelation 18. Revelation 18. We're going to get into chapter 18, but we need to do a little clarifying prior to getting in there. Because it's one of those things that, as we've looked at before, sometimes it's very hard because when we read books, we like to see the chronological order of things and the flow of things, and then you start out with a plot and you see how it ends up. Well, as with Revelation, there are times that I guess they even say as prophecy, it's almost like those prophetic mountaintops where, you know, you have a series of mountaintops. And what's interesting is when, you know, I love to look, I love the hills. I love to go to either the Appalachian or go down through and ride the Blue Ridge Mountain at times. We've ridden that. And just to see the vastness. But, you know, when you look at the mountaintops from a distance, it just looks like one after another after another after another. But if you would walk to the peak of one, thinking the other one is just like right there, by the time you get to the peak, it could be like miles away. And it's a little deceiving. Well, sometimes as we get into the book of Revelation, especially with 16, 17, and 18 chapter, we're on those mountaintops where we went on one, and now we're looking at another one tonight. And it could be close, it could be far away, it could be millenniums away. We don't know how far between they are. But we know that it's when we look at this, it's going to be a prophetic thing as we move to this area. And when you look at this area, it's interesting because chapter 17 and 18, in between those two chapters, there's a gap of about 3.5 years. And so we realize that 3.5 years, what that means, this will be coming to the end of the tribulation time. But 17 and 18, we've got this gap in between the chapters. And so it's a gap of time. And when we look at it as a gap of time, we need to realize, in fact, it sets the stage as a of in order in chapter 16, verse 19. So let's look at that really quickly. Just look at chapter 16, verse 19 through 21. It says, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell. The great Babylon came in remembrance before the God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And the men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great." So in this event we find here in 16, it's like gauging from 16 going into 17, and what 17 was about. We find out that in about 1 hour, when in the verses 19 through 21 of 16, as they fell or the out of heaven, they have great stones of weight, about an hour. It's estimated that those events, when the bulls were poured out, when the trumpets, the seals, and all those things were done, they were poured out and immediately affected. Within seconds, 60 seconds, an hour, whatever, however they determine that. But it comes into a very short period of time that the world is affected by that. So that, and knowing that, chapter 18, look at verse 19 of chapter 18. And it says, "And they cast dust on their heads, and they cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships by the sea, reason of her coastlines, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." So you have these events going on. You have the things happening. And in chapter 18, basically because of chapter 16, these events are going to now go on. They're now going to happen. And so there's a gap in between them. And as we have this gap, because in chapter 17, we realize that it's a gradual process and it's also a human process. Because chapter 17, we realize and we read about the 10 horns, which they saw the beast on. And basically, they hated the harlot, and her desolate was naked. We see that in chapter 17, verse 16. The 10 horns that thou sattest on the beast, they shall hate the whore, and they shall make desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn with fire. So each one of these chapters, and again, it's hard to wrap your mind around, but in chapter 16, it's telling you these things are going to happen. Chapter 17 gives you a little bit of what's going to happen with the harlot. And then in chapter 18, 19, within 1 hour, things are going to go down. And so we see a little bit of a progression of things to come and things that are going on. So the devastation at the end of chapter 16 and in chapter 18 take place in probably about 60 minutes. When those events begin to happen, they happen very quickly, and they happen globally. I mean, the whole area, whatever area is there, it happens very quickly and very globally. And as we see, the result of the angel pouring out the seventh bowl, and we saw that. And so when you see these chapters, you know, you're going from the seven bells of wrath to the great mystery to the fall of Babylon, and it's hard to put them into today, tomorrow, the next day, because they are mountaintops. They are prophecies, things that are going to be happening, but that doesn't mean one is going to happen this day, that day, that day. They're going to happen. There's a time in between them, 17 and 18, 3.5 years, but when they happen, they're going to happen very quickly, within an hour, within 60 minutes. That devastation is going to take what the world looks at as their security, what the world looks at as their greatest achievements, and within 1 hour, 60 minutes, God is going to destroy it all. And so that's the power of God. And so we want to go back and we're going to look at this a little bit, because when you see in chapter 18, it can be compared again to the chapter 16, verse 19, when the great city is divided and the Gentiles fall. So in the beginning part of chapter 18, let's read verses 1 through 3, and then we'll come back and we'll begin that. But reminding that the destruction of Babylon in chapter 18 is comparable to what we read in chapter 16, verses 19 through 21. It was a foreshadowing of what's going to take place. Now it's taking place. So in verse 1 of chapter 18, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is the great, is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through her abundance and her delicacies. So what we find here is the city is going to fall. Again, as said in chapter 16, verses 19 through 21, we now have it beginning. It opens up the angel. And again, it's very intriguing how John describes this angel. When John describes in a way that his authority is very evident by how he looks. And again, if you look at the verse, chapter 1, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened, or the glory, his glory was shown, and the glory of who he was basically lit up the world. And so that power that he has, that he is coming with, is very easy to see and very prevalent. And so it's interesting, you have one angel coming down with authority, but then within that authority, the message of the angel is very emphatic. I mean, he says it very clearly, trying to get the point across, because it says twice, repeating the fact, Babylon the Great is fallen. He wants you to get that point. He wants you to understand that that's the whole key of what's now going to take place. And so he puts it, he repeats it, and it's interesting because if you would go to Isaiah chapter 21, verse 9, it's exactly worded the same. When Isaiah is prophesying about this time, it is simply says the exact same thing. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And so it was prophesied in Isaiah. We get a little bit of an understanding of it in chapter 16. Now we're seeing this actually taking place. The angel is coming down, and again, he's coming down with power. He's coming down with authority. And so everything now is, and I want to try to correlate this with a lot of what we see maybe even going on today. I'm not saying we're in the tribulation time, by the way. I'm just saying we're getting a very good preview of what is coming in our world today is what will be then. But everything is about to change. The nation of the world all knew her, Babylon, caroused her, Babylon, gained riches from her, her security. And basically what it says is that everything about this city, everything about the world, was here. They gained their strength, they gained their security, they gained everything about it, because security is quite a big and important thing. And her wealth was there. But at this point, and within a very short time, as we saw in verse 19 of chapter 18, 1 hour, everything was completely gone. We had a very good understanding of that this last weekend with the floods. With complete towns completely wiped off the map within a very short period of time. And that's just nature doing it. You know, when God does it, it's going to be more efficient, but he's going to be doing it for the right reasons. So we see how the possibilities of all those things coming on. We see all those things, but it brings us to two questions. First question we see coming out of verses 1 through 3, who or what is being talked about? When it says her, when it says the Babylon has fallen and all that, again, for all the nations have drunk of the wine and the wrath for her fornication. So who is it talking about? And second question, basically, is this a literal city or is it symbolic as we talked about before? Babylon was a literal place, but it was also representing a philosophy or a culture. And so which one is this? Is this the literal city being wiped up, or is this the culture? Is this the philosophy of the world being destroyed? And so when you put it in perspective, again, the political or the economic system of the time, Babylon was used both ways all through the Old Testament. It talked either about the actual city and the king and all that they did. And as they captured Israel, they went to Jerusalem and they destroyed it. They led captive all of Jerusalem, all of Israel. And so, or was it the political, the economical? Was it the culture? Was it the customs? Was it the way of life? So both of those have always been represented within the two. And understanding both of them always been represented by the two, it's hard at times. Again, this is one of those places in Scripture where you're going to find guys on both sides of different ideas. And so it's very difficult to pinpoint this to one spot. Many commentators fall in either direction. Some believe it's Rome. Some believe that the Babylon of Revelation 18 is basically the actual rebuilt Babylonian. And so you can't be dogmatic on this because God hasn't specifically said it. But in understanding this, it'll give you a couple ideas. Charles Ryrie said this: Babylon involves a city, evidently Rome and perhaps Babylon of the Euphrates, and a system. Others said that chapter 17 refers to symbolic to the religious Babylon, while 18 refers to the commercial and the political system of Babylon. Charles Swindoll says, consider the revelation Babylon to represent the false religious system at the time of the tribulation. So you've got people on both sides of it. Some believe it's just the religious system. Some believe it was the political, the economic system. Some believe it was the actual city itself. But when we begin to get into this, we know from chapter 16 and we know from 17 that this is going to be something that is destroyed. What either the physical city at this point or whether it's the political, economic. But what we find as we read down through here, these two chapters leaning towards the religious and the economic system are both godless at this point. Everything in our world is godless at this point. All the economics, all the cultural, all the philosophy, everything is godless at this point. So both of those could be used because both of those, religious system and also the time of the tribulation, it just, everything's wrong. Everything's evil. So it could be an umbrella concept that everything, all inclusive, is going on. But what is clear is that God is calling out the believers of that time not to compromise. Don't compromise. Don't go back. Don't, because if you see, again, as we read through those verses, and he cried mightily with a, verse 2, with a strong voice, Babylon the Great has fallen and become a habitation of the devils, hold, and the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean, hateful bird. All the nations, and that's the interesting part, all the nations have drank of her wine, have been participating in her system. And so at this point, again, if this is 3.5 years, we're still dealing with the potential of having saved individuals still on earth at this point, because not all of them have completely gone. So he's giving out at this point, he's giving this wrath out, but at the same time, he's telling them not to compromise, not to change. And again, the destruction of Babylon and the salvation for the saints are on their way. And we saw that going back even into the martyrs, some of the martyred saints. How long? How long do we got to wait? God says patience back in Revelation 6, I believe. And so when you see this again playing out, you see this part of the revelation, you see this part of teaching, and it's God is saying, listen, in a very short time, everything that they're doing to you, everything that they're claiming to have security in, their economics, everything that they're doing evilly in the political system is going to be gone. Everything that they have is gone. Hang in there. Don't compromise. Don't follow them. And so you could see, and as I studied through this, I almost hear the same cry. America is under destruction. Our world is under destruction. And I hear the same cry from God. Listen, help is on the way. Don't compromise. Don't fold into your cultural system. Don't gain the security and the money of the world, the economic system. Don't listen to the cultural philosophy of the day. You don't have to go there because help is coming. You just got to wait for that help to come. And so I think it's very parallel what we're seeing here, and I think in what they're teaching and going through here in the book of Revelation. Because there's three things that he says here that is interesting. The first one, as we saw, don't compromise. Don't get stuck. Second one, don't get stuck in the mob mentality. We've seen that. We've seen people getting stuck in the mob mentality. And there's two ways, and I might as well throw it out there. There's two ways that it's very clear. One is when all the riots were going on during a certain Black Lives Matter group. And there was so many different people involved in that. And when interviewed, they couldn't tell you why they were there. They were just jumping on a wagon. They were just being a part of something. And so we have it then. And then when the Palestinian protest, they have no clue from the river to the sea. They have no idea what that even meant. So everybody, the mob mentality, bringing it in. Let's just do it because. And God is saying, listen, all this is happening. All this is going to go on. And verse 4 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, that ye not receive, or that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto the heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and doubled unto you her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. Basically, everything that she has done to you, God is going to double it back to them. Help is on the way. We don't have to compromise. We don't have to fall into. We don't have to tolerate. We don't have to be a part of. We just need to stay faithful to God. And I'm telling you, we see that in our world so clearly today. What a preview of this event. What a preview of things yet to come. Because when you see that, you don't compromise, don't get stuck in the mob mentality. The third one is, don't partake of the element of the world view or involve yourself in the practices. Now, it's a fine line. Sometimes it should be bigger. But it's a fine line of surviving in this world and not falling into, as the third one mentioned, a partaker of the current world views and the way things are done. And I think one of the greatest things that we fall into is the economical mindset of you got to have it, do it the world's way, or you're never going to make it. Because I really think that mindset goes against God. Because God owns it. God always has owned it. Now, we're to be good stewards. We're to be smart. We are to plan, as Scripture says, the ants that plan and they store up and they know things are coming, so they're prepared for it. All of that is very true, but don't let that be your security. And that's the difference. They wanted nothing to do with God. Their security came into this Babylonian mindset with the evil culture, the evil world, all the things that they did. They were doing whatever they could to make the money they could. They were doing everything. And we see that, the economy today. And we know that it appears the rich get richer and the poorer get poorer. In the middle class, you got to go one way or the other because they're trying to destroy the middle class, because the middle class has always been the backbone of America. And so we're seeing a preview of that even today in the midst of watching, in the midst of seeing what's going on in our world. So, interesting enough, a very similar message was given by the prophet Jeremiah. Now, you can write this text down, Jeremiah 51, 6 through 7, 6, 7, and 8. It says, flee from the midst of Babylon and everyone that save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drink, or made all the world drunk. The nations drank her wine, therefore the nations are deranged. Babylon is suddenly fallen and be destroyed. Well for her, take palm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. That's coming out of the New King James. It's prophesied that this is going to happen. And it is now happening. But God says, again, verse 4 and 5, you got to highlight them. Don't get out. Don't think like, don't be like. And you've probably heard it preached to you all your life. I've heard it preached to me all my life. Don't be like, look like, act like the world. We got to be separate. We got to be different. Well, God is saying here, yeah, because you don't want to be a part of that destruction that's coming. You don't want to be a part of the things that are coming down the pike. And so even today, we need to realize, because what is important is we see that prophesied in Jeremiah 51. It's the same message then as it is now, as it is going to be in Revelation 18. The message has never changed. God said, don't be like the world. Be in the world, but don't be of the world. God, be close enough to those people who need to Christ so that they can see him lived in your life. But that doesn't mean you take on their philosophy. It doesn't mean you take on their ways of doing things. It doesn't mean that you begin to live your life according to the world and you compromise. And I'm going to tell you, I have never seen in 30 years of ministry compromising from the church as I've seen in the last 5 to 8 years. Unbelievable. Just completely unbelievable. And we're falling into this. We're not listening to what God is saying. Don't be a part of it. Stay out. Stay away from it. Because they live in their wealth, their popularity, their satisfactions. They live with all of the things. And they live with their freezers full. They live with the cars in the garage. They live with all the money in the bank. They live with all their stocks. They live with all their millions. They live with all their money. I am fine. I'll be good. I'll be okay. No, you won't. And the problem is with me is I truly believe, in all of us, I truly believe this is what's going to happen. And so you talk to people today, nah, I'll be all right. I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. But you don't understand, you're going to lose it. Oh, I'll never lose it. I've got it secured. It is so secured. I've got all my monies diversified. I've got them in 12 different accounts. I've got everything fine. If one goes, I still got. There is no getting anywhere else because there is nowhere else. It's gone. Everything of Babylon is going to be destroyed. And it's talking about not only, I believe, the political, the economical, but I also believe it's the religious. I believe it's the whole concept of what the world has become. God is going to say, it's done. It's completely done. So they're going to have nothing to fall back on. They're going to have nothing. It is a totally, basically unaware of the spiritual world around us. We are living in days today that most of America is unaware of the spiritual battle that's going on around us. Israel, how cruel. You're just trying to be the big boy in the block. You're just trying to go get more land. You're just, no, this is biblical. And we're very close to the Ezekiel war. We're getting closer to the Ezekiel war now that Iran did what they did last night. We haven't seen the Ezekiel 37, 38. We haven't seen it yet, but it is so, so close. And Kim and I were talking about this, and we study Amir, and Amir is a saved Jewish man, and he has a tremendous understanding of a lot of this. And the one thing that nobody can pinpoint for sure is whether the church is raptured before the Ezekiel war or after the Ezekiel war. And if we are that close, as of last night, to the potential of the Ezekiel war, and the rapture happens before the war, y'all better be prayed up, looking up, ready to go. Because it's getting closer. And I think that's what studying through the book of Revelations, that's my goal, is to get us our mindset. There is a spiritual war going on around us. And there is biblical prophecy that is being given to us to understand that, listen, things are happening in biblical proportions. Don't get caught up in the world. Don't get caught up in the economics. Don't get caught up in all those things. Yeah, we are to be the good stewards. Yes, we are. And I share that. We got to have that stuff. But, man, when you depend on everything the world is doing for your security, you're done. God is the only thing secure. Because in the end, we know he wins, plain and simple. And so all is gone. All is gone. Look at verse 14 of chapter 18. Verse 14 says, "And the fruits that thy soil lusted after are departed from thee, and all the things which are dainty and good and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off in fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with the gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster, and of all the company in the ships and sailors, and the many trades by the sea, stood afar off. And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto the great city? And we've read 8:19, and they cast dust on their heads. They cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich, where we were made rich, and the ships and the seas by reason of her coastlines. For in 1 hour she is made desolate." They lost everything. There is no other place to go. There is no higher ground to go to. There is no other Walmart at the next town to get what you want to get. We got to realize when God says it's all done, it is all done. When we want security, as everybody does, you want security in your marriage, you want security in your job, you want security in your bank account. Why would you have 500 different email and passwords to everything you own? I mean, it's getting ridiculous. I have a sheet this big with everything listed in there, so when I'm gone or when I'm too old to remember, I got something to look at, one or the other. And so when you look at that, it's like we want security. We want nobody to walk in and take away what we have. But this security that they had, everything that they secured disappeared in a moment. Gone. Simply gone. And I don't even know if most of Americans can fathom that. Even though we just seen what happened last week. Even though and I think the same thing is true. Unless that river came through your back door and took your house off the foundation. Oh man, I feel so bad for them. We need to pray for them. Till it affects you, you're not as concerned. And we see that everywhere in our, and I'm making a general statement here. I'm not saying you. I'm saying in a general statement, most people aren't concerned or moved to do anything unless it happens directly to them. And that's where we've come. Listen, we can't let that happen. We have to not have that mentality and be able to be used and be a part of what God has for us. So that security is important. We all want it. The only guaranteed security we have, one thing that we are guaranteed in, and that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that we have a guarantee in. We're not guaranteed the last breath. We're not guaranteed anything about tomorrow. We're not guaranteed that when we wake up tomorrow and we leave the house, that everything we own is not destroyed by wind, fire, water, whatever comes the way. We have no guarantees of nothing. And we need to really say, how much am I truly relying on Jesus Christ? How much am I really relying on that bank account? How much am I really relying on, you got to eat, right? You got to have some kind of money coming in. You got to have something. I get that. But man, when that becomes your only security, you're done. And that's the difference. It became their security. It became everything they needed, everything they had. Jeremiah 29:11, we know that verse very well. God says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, the plans that he had laid out for us. He does not plan anything evil for our lives. It's very clear in that verse. But there are plans that God has for our life that we don't know where they are. Maybe God's plan is for us to lose everything. Maybe God's plan is for us to go through some valleys in our world in which we live. Because this isn't our home. We're passing through this place. Our security cannot be in this place. Revelation 18, basically, everything that the people had left to depend on is gone. And there's a few other things as we go down, we could study down through, but that is basically then the rest of it. But one of the key things, as Revelation 18 begins to wind down, in all this devastation and everything that is going on, everything is completely gone, they've lost everything, they lost hope and everything, verse 20 says, rejoice. James did the same thing. Count it all joy when you get smacked, you know? Count it all joy when the tribulations come. Verse 20 says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And you've heard me say many times, there's going to be a day when God makes everything right. This is the day. God's going to make it all right. All the evilness we see in our world, and listen, we don't see half of what is really out there. We don't see all the depths of the evil, of the depravity of man's mind yet. It's coming, but we haven't seen it yet. And so all of that, basically, and why were they rejoicing? God promised justice according to his time, according to his choice, according to his righteousness. And that day has now come. So them there, he says, rejoice. And again, 21, and the mighty angel took up a stone like a great milestone, cast it into the sea, saying, thus the violence shall be that great in Babylon and throw down and shall be found no more at all. And it goes on in the remaining of the chapter, talks about the same things that they were talking about. And basically, verse 24, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. God says, you did all these things, now I'm going to do this. And we saw who is worthy to open the seals. Who is worthy? The Lamb of God. He is the only just. He is the only righteous. He is the only one who could put this kind of judgment, That's why the verse says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Because he's the only one who will do it and do it right. And he has done it, as we've seen through chapter 18. And so Babylon is ended. That is all the crux of it. You dig into the main points and different things that are said there in some of them verses. But the whole crux of it is that. And we are previewing some of that mentality, previewing some of that mindset today in our world in which we live. And we can't be that dogmatic. We can't have our security elsewhere. And we don't know. And I'm going to tell you, keep your eyes open. Because at any minute, and we knew all my life, you all know I was a druggie. I was drugged to church every Sunday, all my life. I've been told that the rapture is going to be something as a twinkling of an eye. Something's going to happen that the world is not watching for. The world is not looking for. We need to look for that. And we need to have that, as Paul said in Colossians, we need to have our sights set above, our affections set above. Because I believe the time is drawing near when the work on earth is done. You can't do anything after that. It's done. So, that all being said, chapter 18 is a very important chapter because then we go into the fourth part of the book of Revelations. We go into the reign of the king. And so we're going to look at that, jump into that a little bit next week. But, man, there's so much in this, so much we could go through. And I'm already a little bit over the normal, but anyway, we need to wind her down tonight. But I think it's an eye-opening for me. I hope it's an eye-opening for you to realize that when you just listen and look at what's going on in our world today, man, we are right there. We are right there. And we believe it to happen. We just maybe didn't believe it was going to happen in our lifetime. Every generation probably could say the same. Many different generations did. When the world wars took place, they thought this was it. Well, we're not far from that either in the world in which we live. But so that hopefully that stirs you, stir up the gift that's in you, stir up the calling in you to share Christ, and sharing with as many people as we can. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. I pray as we continue to just put our thoughts together and pull together the truth of your word, we realize that you do have a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. They're not evil, they're not wrong, but yet, God, we know that there is a timeline that you have, and that's not going to change. And God, we just pray in the process of working towards that timeline that we can continue to stay that remnant of faithful that you always have said through your word is there. And God, we just thank you, praise you for allowing us the understanding to know that help is on the way. Just stay true, stay faithful, and keep looking up. Father, we thank